Good morning, Grace Bible Church. Welcome to our lesson for this morning. Today, we are at the beginning of Holy Week, and we remember that nearly 2,000 years ago, the most influential figure in the history of the world rode into Jerusalem to the acclaim of thousands. By the end of that same week, he was dead, brutally executed on a Roman cross. His death, like his life, was the most significant death that the world has ever seen. What we want to do today is to think further about the death of Jesus. Coming up is Good Friday. There are a lot of people in our world that know something about Jesus. They know the name. They know that he died, probably know that he was crucified, but they don't know what the meaning of his death is. And that's what we want to focus on. We actually talked about this a bit last week from the Old Testament. If you were with us, we had a lesson from Leviticus chapter 16 about the Day of Atonement, or as we split that word up, the Day of At-One-Ment, the day when God every year would remind the people of Israel that he was the one who alone could close the gap between their performance and what he actually required of them, the law that he had given to them. And we looked at a couple aspects of that Day of Atonement. We noticed it took place in a particular location. It took place in the tabernacle, which was the portable worship center that Israel carried with it through the wilderness journeys. And particularly the important function on that day took place in the back part of the tent or the tabernacle in a place called the Most Holy Place. In that Most Holy Place, there was the Ark of the Covenant, with the gold cover on top of it and the golden figures of the cherubim, which marked out the presence of God. And there the priest came to bring the blood of the offering. It could only be the high priest, that is Moses' brother Aaron, or Aaron's descendants, they alone could come in. And as we noted, they could only come in there once a year on that special day. They had to come with the blood of sacrifice. And that was the third element we talked about, that there was a sacrifice that took place in which when Aaron sacrificed for himself, he sacrificed the blood of a bull. And then when he sacrificed for the people, it was the blood of a goat. And all those things were important, the right place, the right priest, and the right sacrifice. Now, what we want to do this morning is to see, again, what we have talked about at various times before. And that is that these stories in the Old Testament are going someplace. And where they're going is to Jesus. And this Day of Atonement idea is going to Jesus. In fact, it's going to this week that we commemorate, Holy Week, and it's going directly to the cross. It will help us to understand what took place on that day. Now, as we talk about this, you may have questions or comments that come up. You can submit them in the chat room, and Wes is going to be watching those comments as they come in. And when we have a little time of discussion at the end, he will bring those to me and we'll try to look at the most important of those comments or questions. So feel free to do that as we move through this material. All right, so let's talk about Yom Kippur, that's the Day of Atonement, and Good Friday coming up, the death of Jesus. Now we should note right off that the connection with Yom Kippur is not the most common connection that the New Testament makes with the Old Testament sacrifices. The most common connection is the Passover. And that's because this week in the spring is Passover week. Jesus, when he celebrated his last meal with the disciples before he went to the cross, celebrated a Passover meal. And so that's the most common connection the New Testament makes. But this connection with Yom Kippur, which actually took place in the fall, is also part of the way that the New Testament helps us to understand the meaning of Jesus' death. So let's look at some verses from the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 3. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. All right, so Paul says he wants to talk about the present time. The present time I would like to describe as Jesus' time. That is, it is the period of history that is marked out by the coming of the Lord Jesus into the world, all the way through to our time. It's all Jesus' time. Or it's what Paul calls in his letter to the Galatians, the fullness of time. In the fullness of time, Paul says, God sent forth his Son. In the present time, Paul says, God is doing something special that we need to pay attention to. And what he's doing is that he is showing forth a new kind of righteousness. This new righteousness, he says, is a righteousness that is apart from the law. The law describes righteousness. The law says this is what it means to live the right way as God intends. It is to love the Lord your God with heart and soul and mind and strength, and it's to love your neighbor as yourself. So the law points to righteousness, which is ultimately rooted in the character of God. But Paul says, I want to talk to you about a righteousness that is not what the law was talking about. I want to show you something else, and though the law did not present this, the law and the prophets, which is his way of saying the Old Testament witnessed to this new kind of righteousness, even though it didn't have the substance of it. This new righteousness, Paul says, is a righteousness that is needed by everyone. Verse 23, he says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The glory of God is, We might say it's the way God intended us to live as his creatures. Genesis chapter 1 says that God created men and women in his image and in his likeness, to be like God, the glorious God, the creator God. To be like him is to share in the glory and splendor that is his. And Paul says, everyone has fallen short of that because they've all sinned. We've been talking about this gap between our performance and the perfection that God demands. When Paul says that all have sinned and falling short, he's talking about that gap again, that gap that is unbridgeable by us, that cannot be closed. And it's not a small 6-inch gap that we're looking at in the picture here. This is the wide, unbridgeable distance between sinners and a righteous God. If we wanted to change the image a bit and talk not about a gap, we could talk about a virus, huh? Much on our minds these days. The coronavirus, so dangerous, apparently so easily spread, and so threatening to life. And we fear that. Well, maybe that's a good image to think about this problem that Paul is addressing, the problem of sin. Think about sin as a virus that has gotten into the human race. It's a virus that is universally communicated. It's not just that some people contract this, but Paul says, and the broader scripture says, that all human beings have contracted this virus. And more than that, they not only contract the virus, but this virus is 100% lethal. Now, if such a disease actually started in the human race, how would we respond? Think about the fear right now that people justly have of the coronavirus. Suppose there were this 100% lethal virus. How would we face it? How would we feel about it? Part of the problem of living in a secular society, as we do, is that people are actually suffering from this sin virus, but nobody talks about it. We hardly have the category of sin anymore. So we don't take it seriously, even though it leads universally to our death, both physical death ultimately, but spiritual death as well. God has said to our first parents regarding the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. And the result is, Paul says just a couple chapters after these verses that we've looked at, he says, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. This is our status before God. So this new kind of righteousness, which bridges the gap, which you might say is the cure for the universal virus of sin, is needed by everyone. But here's the good news. The remedy that's needed by all is available to all. So here's what Paul says. The righteousness, this new kind of righteousness, is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. Jew and Gentile is the way people in Paul's day categorized the whole world. There were Jews, and there was everybody else, the Gentiles. So there's no difference. white, black, brown, whatever ethnicity, whatever background, whatever economic status, there's no difference. All of us are equally sick. All of us need a remedy. And the good news, the gospel, is that God has provided a remedy for all through Jesus Christ. And this is what is happening at the cross. This is how Paul sets up this discussion. Now, what is it that happens at the cross? Here's what Paul says, verse 25. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. All right. So we're thinking about the connection between Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and the death of Jesus on Good Friday. And here we need a little bit of a background, a little bit of history. So screw on your thinking caps here and let me try to explain this. The Day of Atonement we looked at, Leviticus 16, talked about this piece of furniture that was in the most holy place where the priest took the blood. It was a chest, gold coated. The Ark of the Covenant was called. And inside the Ark, there was the two tables of stone with the Ten Commandments written on it, Aaron's rod that budded, and a bowl of manna symbolizing God's provision as the people journeyed through the wilderness. Above the chest, the cover, is the atonement cover, the place where the blood was sprinkled, the place where God's presence was manifested between the wings of the cherubim. Now, here's where it gets interesting. That cover was called a kephoreth, or a kipporeth. You can hear in that something close to the word Yom Kippur, Kippureth. That was the name of that cover. Now, after the Jews were scattered across the Babylonian Empire, they ended up living in many different places, and they gradually lost the ability to speak Hebrew, which was their native language. The Old Testament was written originally in Hebrew. And so as they lived in various parts of the Mediterranean world, and as the centuries went by before the coming of Jesus, the Greek language took over as the international language. So Jews who were forgetting Hebrew learned Greek. Just the way immigrants coming from other countries to America would learn to speak English. They learned to speak Greek. And as the generations went by, having lost their Hebrew skills, there was a need for a translation of the Old Testament into Greek. And that translation was made about three centuries before Jesus came. And it was called the Septuagint. Now, all that to say, when the Greek translators of the Old Testament translated Leviticus chapter 16, and they came to this atonement cover, the kippureth, they needed a Greek word. And so they chose the word hilasterion to refer to that cover. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Paul, like the other New Testament writers, read the Old Testament in Greek, and they quoted it in Greek. So now, Paul, knowing the Old Testament, knowing the stipulations for the Day of Atonement, is writing to you and me about the meaning of the death of Jesus. Here's the verse again. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood. That's the way the NIV translates it, and that's a good translation. But here's what Paul literally says there. He says God presented Christ as a hilasterion. That is, he uses the same word to describe what happened at Calvary, the same word that the translators of the Septuagint had used to describe the lid on the Ark of the Covenant, the place where the atonement was made each year for Israel. Jesus then is the place. He is the one who fulfills the images and the shadows that were there on the Day of Atonement. And as we saw before, Paul doesn't talk about this directly, but you know, you need a place, you need the atonement cover in the holiest of all, and you need a priest. You need a perfect priest. And Paul doesn't draw this out for us, but the book of Hebrews does, makes great use of this Day of Atonement imagery. The book of Hebrews says, such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for those that he represents. Jesus is the place of atonement. He is also the perfect priest. He doesn't have to offer a bull for himself the way Aaron did, but rather he can come into the presence of God because he is holy and harmless and undefiled. And as the perfect priest, he brings the perfect sacrifice. No longer does he offer the blood of a bull for himself or the blood of a goat for the sins of the people. But Hebrews says he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. Eternal, it does not need to be repeated. It is the once for all sacrifice of sins. This is what is taking place on the cross on Good Friday. Sacrifice is about substitution, right? We talked about that last week. The sacrifice substitutes for the worshiper, the offerer. It's one life for another. And when Jesus dies, he is laying down his life for your sins, for my sins, for the sins of the world. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And then at this point, God, or Paul, changes the imagery and gives us another picture with which to look at the meaning of the cross. We kind of leave the Day of Atonement behind, and we now move into a legal picture. Paul is talking about God as the one who is just and the justifier, and here God is pictured as a judge. We have entered the courtroom, and Paul is telling us that in the death of Jesus, not only is Jesus offering up a sacrifice, which is his own life, but God is doing something at the cross as well. God is acting as a righteous, holy, just God and judge. And as the righteous judge, God is demonstrating that sin is not a minor problem. Sin is not something that he can just overlook and that he can say, well, let's let bygones be bygones. You know, it's not that big a deal. we'll just let it go. If people say they're sorry, that's all that's needed. No, Paul says that's not a way to understand the cross. The cross is God acting as a righteous judge. So when God pronounces the death sentence against sinners, Paul says he's just to do that. All the way back in Genesis chapter 3. In the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. God is just to make that judgment, and he's just to carry it out. But God is also just when he, as he did, passed over the sins that were committed year by year. When he passed over the sins of Israel, indeed, in a sense, when he passed over the sins of the whole world. Because even though spiritual death came in right at the start, God did not destroy the world, nor did he destroy the human race. And Paul says that in his restraint, God passed over the sins previously committed. But he was just, and the cross, says Paul, shows that he was just and righteous in passing over those sins. Why? Because in his purposes, he knew that one day sin would be judged in its fullness. So he passed over sins temporarily. But God is just because when he poured out his wrath on Jesus on Good Friday, he was acting as the righteous judge of all the earth. The death of Jesus is what sin deserved. And that is what is demonstrated in the cross. But Paul says God is not only just and righteous in judging sin, but he is also the justifier of those that believe in Jesus. Justification means the dropping of charges. Justification is vindication. Justification is the judge saying to the person in the dock, you go free. The charges against you are dropped. You are not guilty. Justification is the not guilty verdict that God gives to all those who trust in Jesus. So what about this righteous, this new kind of righteousness that Paul wants us to see? This new kind of righteousness is a righteousness from God that comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. It's not the righteousness of the law. It's not something you and I can achieve by doing our best, by trying to close that gap between perfection and performance, to close it in our own strength. We can't do that. But what the cross reveals is that a holy God has devised a plan to judge sin in the world, sin in us. We are guilty. We deserve to die. But a righteous substitute has come. A righteous substitute who laid down his life, and his life as someone who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners, is of such infinite value that he closes the gap for me, for you, for all those who through faith will say, yes, God, I need that. I am a sinner. I deserve to be eternally separated from you. But I believe Jesus is your gift to the world. I believe that Jesus is the perfect priest. He's the perfect sacrifice. And I come to you acknowledging my sins, but desiring the gift of life and righteousness that he provides. So I come asking. I don't know if that is something that you've done. I did it years and years ago when I was just a boy. I sensed that deep need I had to be one with God. I knew I was a sinner. I knew there was a gap there that I could not cross, but I accepted what God had offered as a gift through Jesus. In this Passion Week, this Holy Week, as we move toward the cross, that's the question I want to leave you with. Have you received Jesus as God's gift, as his righteousness to you, to close the gap?